And yet the world glories in the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now that's a very profound thing, because when you read the words of God, when it enters into your mind and you have understanding, there is a spiritual something that happens to you. And I know I've experienced that so many times in my lifetime in reading and studying the Word of God, and especially so when I go back over scriptures and learn more out of the same scripture that I've already known for years and years. That is really thrilling. And so this is something that happens to you when the Word of God has entrance into your heart and mind. It will give you life, will give you hope, will give you love, will give you joy and understanding, in spite of all of the circumstances around. That's why there is nothing that can hold us back from the kingdom of God if we really understand it and do things the way that God wants them done. Here, let's come to chapter 14, John 14. John 14. In verse 15, it's been a while since I've gone over these, but these are very important to remind us and to understand the true doctrines. Here is a true doctrine of Jesus Christ. Here is the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. Here are the sound words of Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. And in the Greek, that is very emphatic. That means if you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments, is what he's saying. And they're very emphatic, and there's a way of writing it in the Greek that brings it out in a very emphatic way. Now, let's come down here to verse 21. He that has my commandments and is keeping them. It's one thing to say we have the commandments of God. The Protestants say that. I mean, even the Catholics say that. See. But to truly have the commandments of God and to truly keep them, it is that is loving me. And he that is loving me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, see, that's a profound thing. That's why, brethren, I have been mentioning and emphasizing here lately, it's so important. God wants us in that love relationship with him. And that's where it needs to start, that love relationship with him. And I would have to say that what happens when you get into religion, and your own experience has probably been the same, where was the love of God? And since the love of God is the greatest thing, and if you have people using the name of Christ and professing to be teachers and ministers of Christ and don't know the love of God and don't teach the love of God, don't understand the love of God, no wonder God is separating. No wonder God is scattering. Because there's one thing that you learn in distress and trouble. You learn that you have to have God. And you'll come to learn this lesson. Let's read it now here in verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So now we're to the wholesome words of Jesus Christ, the sound words of Jesus Christ. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him. So the Holy Spirit of God is consisting of the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Father, both together in you. Now notice verse 24. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings. So it's not just restricted to commandments or laws or statutes or judgments or anything like that. It's whatever Jesus has said. Whatever. Makes no difference. Those are the sound words of Christ. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So what we're dealing with the direct words of God the Father when we truly, truly understand it. That's how important it is. Let's come to chapter 12. Turn back just a page here and we'll see. Verse 42, chapter 12, Gospel of John. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So there's religious and political power, correct? And the leaders are subject to that. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So they put what other people thought about them ahead of what God thought about them. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. So again, going right back to God the Father. See. And he that sees me sees him that sent me. I am come a light in the world, and whosoever believes on me shall not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So it's going to happen one way or the other, isn't it? For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So there again, going back to the Father. So you see, if there's any one thing that I think we've really been learning, especially with the different controversies we have had concerning the way of God versus religion, and that is, we are not a religion. God does not want us to be religious people as the world understands us to be religious people. He wants us to be connected to him and God the Father. And it is direct. And it is with the Spirit of God. Now notice, verse 50. For I know his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So, is it possible that those who are really true teachers of God, that they would be faithful to the Word of God this way, the same way that Jesus Christ was? Well, that's the only way that they're going to really help the brethren teach the truth. There won't be any other way. Now, let's look at a couple things in... Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let's look at the Word of God. Since it says there that if they do not consent to the wholesome words or the sound words of Jesus Christ, let's look and do just a little survey concerning the Word of God. Let's come to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. And this is kind of like the world today, as it were. Notice, sometimes you feel this way. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And boy, hasn't that happened within the church. Many of those we thought were faithful, they have failed. Where are they? They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, and with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. They have a hidden agenda. They have a secret plan. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I rise, says the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him that puffs at him. God is showing that he will deliver one way or the other. Now notice verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, pure as silver, tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. That's why we can rely on the Word of God. Now, let's continue on. Let's come to Psalm 18, just a couple pages over. Psalm 18 and verse 30. Psalm 18 and verse 30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. Or as the marginal reference has, refined. We can be sure of it. He is a buckler, that is, a defender to all those that trust in him. Who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that girds me with strength and makes my way perfect. So he relied on God, not on his own ways. Now, let's come to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Okay, Psalm 138. Just start right here in verse 1. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. That's quite a profound verse. And if you run into any sacred namers, what you need to do is have them read this verse. For you have magnified your truth, or your word, above all your name. Very profound. Okay? Now let's come to Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 is really a tremendous psalm. And so we're going to do a quick survey of quite a few verses here in Psalm 119. Having to do with the Word of God. Having to do with just the Word. It talks about the Word of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God, the precepts of God, the testimonies of God, and all of those things. This is really quite a psalm. And I would suggest to anyone who's having difficulty understanding why we need to keep the words of God, go through and just read and study this whole psalm. And let it sink in and sink in deep. Because that will change your whole perspective. And I did two sermons on Psalm 119 some few years ago, actually showing that I think that these are the prophetic words of Christ concerning His view toward the laws and commandments of God, because they are so profound. Now, not every verse, of course, but good many of them. Now, let's pick it up here. Let's begin in verse 11. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, that's quite profound, isn't it? How are you going to avoid sin? Let the word of God rule in your heart and rule in your mind. Let the laws be written in your mind and in your heart. See. Come down here to verse 16. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Notice the next verse. Deal faithfully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. So is his desire to keep the word of God. You see, the whole thrust, the whole attitude of this psalm is really absolutely amazing. Really is. Let's come to verse 25. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me according to your word. That is, give life to me according to your word. Now that could apply to Christ as he was dying. That could apply to David when he was sick. Okay, let's come down here to verse 28. Verse 28. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Now that's quite a one that, you know, people can take. If you are overburdened with great problems and they're pressing in on you and just sort of crushing you down. Like he says, my soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Go to the word of God. Study the word of God. Let that lift you up. Let that encourage you. Let that give you hope. Now let's come to the next one. Verse 38. Establish your word unto your servant who is devoted to your fear. Boy, that's quite an attitude, isn't it? All of these show a tremendous converted attitude, don't they? And a real love toward God's way continuously. Verse 41. Let your mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even your salvation according to your word. Verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in your word. That's why it's so important to really know it, to really understand it, to be really grounded in it. Because there's going to come a time when someone's going to reproach you about it, but you're going to stand because you have the word of God. Verse 3, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your judgments. Boy, and it just goes on and on and on and on. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has quickened me. So there it is. Now what does it say? We'll just stop here and we'll just think for a minute. What does it say concerning Christ in the beginning of the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. See? So when you trust in his word, you're trusting in him, correct? No doubt about it. Okay, let's come down here to verse 49. Remember the word unto your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. Yeah, I just read that, verse 50. Okay, let's go to verse 58. I have remembered your name, O Lord, in the night, and I have kept your law. No, that's verse 55, verse 58. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word. Now, you see, that's why you can count on forgiveness from God. Notice, this is part of repentance. Notice, I entreated your favor, which is grace, with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to your word. So you can trust in God for forgiveness. You can trust in God to comfort you and help you and uplift you and guide you with his spirit. See? So trust in his word. This is why, you see, when Paul wrote like he did, that we need to consent to the wholesome or the sound words of Christ, there's a reason for it, because when he writes something in the New Testament, there's this whole iceberg, as it were. You know what an iceberg is like? About one-tenth of it is above the water. Nine-tenths is below the water, you see. You can't see the 9/10. Maybe you can see the 1/10. So when Paul writes something in the New Testament, it's equivalent to writing with the background of all that's in the Old Testament and all that's in the Gospels. So if we put it all together and examine it as if it were an iceberg and just look at it to the depths of it and understand it, then we will realize how great and marvelous that God's Word is. And here we have, as I've said before, and I'm going to say again right now, we have the whole Bible of God. The whole Word. And just think what God has done to get it to us. And then what God expects of us because we have it. And yet, isn't it so true that though you have the whole Word of God, how many people have trouble studying? How many people have trouble praying? When you have every opportunity and there is peace in the land, and all you have to do is open the Bible or go get on your knees. Isn't that something? Doesn't that tell you how devastating the pull of human nature is? Doesn't that tell you what the law of sin in you does? As Paul said, the things he wanted to do, he couldn't, and the things he didn't want to do, he did. And that there's this war going on within him. Well, we can overcome that by realizing how great God's Word is and to really use it. And to really know it and really apply ourselves to it. It's something. It's something. Yes, verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said I would keep your words. So there it is again and again and again and again and again. Verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according unto your word. Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept your word. So you see, what brought him back? A trial, a difficulty. If you have a trial or difficulty come along, don't let it drive you away from God. Let it drive you to God. Now, you may not understand all the difficulty you're going through. Maybe it will be so bad that you don't have a clue as to what's going on. But you still have to trust in God and have faith in God, and then what'll happen? I'll guarantee it. One day, it'll dawn on you, just like, bing, a light goes on. You will look back at that trial and difficulty, and because you trusted in God and were faithful in His Word, clear up to this point that you began to understand it, maybe it'll be years later before you understand it. You look back and you say, that's why I went through this. Now, I've experienced that many, many times. Sometimes I'll go through things and I wonder, why? You know? Now, lots of times we go through things because of our own stupidity. I mean, we can figure those things out. But some of the other things we can't. So this is quite a verse here. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept your word, which then brings some understanding. Let's go to verse 74. They that fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. Now I'm sure that has to do with Christ. More than King David. There was even one man who was not happy to see him at all. He said, you miserable, wretched king, you brought all this stuff on me and on us, and he spit on him. And Joab said, let me do him in. He said, nah, he's speaking the truth, leave him alone. So even in his misery, David learned things. Okay, verse 76. Let, I pray you, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word unto your servant. Let your tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Now, verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. Verse 82. My eyes fail for your word, saying, when will you comfort me? So he was even reasoning with God with the difficulties and problems he was having there. Verse 89. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Now let's ask a question. If the word of God is settled forever in heaven, who is man to modify it and change it? I mean, you really need to think about it. That's very important to realize. When you put that together with the psalm we covered, Psalm 138 and verse 2, that he magnifies his word above his name, his word is settled in heaven. That's quite something, isn't it? Let's continue on here. Let's come to verse 101. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every way that I might keep your word. Now you see what the word of God does for you. It gives you ability to give you the character to not sin. That's what it's saying here. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. Now let's go to verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Shows you the way to go. Now this is one that many people like to take and put up as kind of a little mural or a little plaque on the wall. But that is true. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, just think about it. You know, how many times have you gotten up at night when it's really dark, especially somewhere where you are just staying temporarily, you know, and you wake up and it's really dark, and for just an instant you forget where you are. You know, have you ever had that happen? I've had it happen even at home. I'd be sleeping so deeply, I'd wake up and say, oh, Now, just consider if it were pitch black and you had no light. So what's the first thing you do? Well, since we don't have candles, you don't light a candle, but if you do, you would, or a lamp, you would light it. You go over and turn the switch on, don't you? So you can have light to see where you're going. Well, the Word of God is just that way for us. It shows us how to walk the way of God by his word and gives us light and gives us understanding and gives us truth. Verse 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me according to your word. Boy, notice how many times he got into that when he was in trouble and difficulty. Now, let's come down to verse 116. Verse 116, uphold me according to your word that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope then which is in you. You hold me up and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto your statutes continually. Now, verse 133. Order my steps in your word. Well, that's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Order my steps in your word. Let me walk in your word. And I think if most of us would really do this, this would be a tremendous thing, wouldn't it? We all still have enough carnality that's something we need to really come back to time and time again. To order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Now, what is this telling us? This is telling us that you will sin, but it's not going to rule you. And if you have your steps ordered according to the Word of God, then the sin is not going to rule over you. Now hold your place here and go to Romans, the sixth chapter. Romans 6. Now in Romans 6, we are talking about living within the grace of God, and that is in the Word of Christ, ordering your way in the grace of God. Right here in verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid," it means may it never be. "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" That is, live in it. Now notice it's not saying that you won't sin, but you're not going to live in sin. Now there's a difference between having your way ordered in the Word of God and you're walking in the Word of God so that sin will not rule over you, and you do sin. But then what do? You repent of that sin, you see. When you are living in sin, you don't repent of that sin. Well, that's what he's talking about. How shall we live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Co-joined into his death. In other words, you died unto sin. That's what he's saying. Now let's come over here to verse 11. Just as Christ died for sin once, verse 11. "Likewise reckon," or that is calculate, "you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin reign," that is rule, or have dominion in your mortal body, "that you should obey it in the lust thereof." See, so that is amplified back here in Psalm 119, verse 133. "Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." See, so that's how it's accomplished. Now, let's continue on. Verse 147. "I prevented the dawning of the morning," or that is, he got up before dawn, "and cried, I hoped in your word. My eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in your word." So it was a day and night thing with him, wasn't it? Quite a thing. Verse 54. "Salvation is far from the wicked," verse 154, "plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to your word." Now notice how many times he says, "quicken me according to your word." In other words, intervene on my behalf, God, according to your word. "Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not your statutes." Okay, well, we've had the survey there going through that. Now, let's come to Revelation 3, and let's see how that still applies today. Revelation 3. So you see, when Paul wrote that we are to adhere to the sound words of Jesus Christ, there was an awful lot to it. And still, if you would get out your concordance, I would say this, if you wanted to look up every place in the concordance where it talked about the word of God, the word of the Lord, his words, thy words, my words, obey my voice, and all, you just take that as a study, I guarantee that it's going to take you quite a while to get through it, because there are literally page after page after page of it in the concordance. And even what we've studied here today, though we went into some depth in it, if we were likened the whole thing to the iceberg like I talked about, we probably got down another 10%. See? There's so much more to it. It is incredible. And as I've said many times, the Word of God is like a sphere. It's not like a string. It's like a sphere. You can take a sphere and theoretically you can put in an innumerable number of lines going through that sphere. And everywhere there's an intersection of those lines, the Word of God connects. So you can liken that to putting the Word of God together correctly. And it is with an infinite number of lines, there's an infinite number of connections, which means that we're dealing with the Word of God, which is inspired by the Spirit of God. And since God lives forever, that's why it's designed in that way. Now here, Revelation 3. And let's pick it up here in verse 7 to the church of Philadelphia. Now, so many people claim they're a church of Philadelphia or Philadelphians that the point escapes too many people as to what it really means. So let's read what it means. And by reading this, I'm not saying we are Philadelphians and others are whatever they may be. All I'm saying here is that let's see what this tells us concerning the Word of God. These things write. These things says he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts and shuts and no man opens. I know your works. Now let's understand something about works. We are to have works, but those works are to be based and rooted in the love and grace of God. That if we love God and obey God, what kind of works are we going to have? And God knows them. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. You have a little strength, and have kept my word. Now that is how important the Word of God is. We'll see here in just a minute. Have kept my word and have not denied my name. So question, if you don't keep his word, what are you doing? You're denying his name. The two go hand in hand. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. That's the great world establishment which runs the world, including finances, government, the whole system of the world, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet to know that I have loved you. So what do you need to realize? The day will come. You can count on it. That day will come. Now notice verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, and this could also be translated, because you have kept the word of my endurance, or you have patiently kept my word, or with endurance you have kept my word. All of those could be translated from the Greek and would be accurate translations. Now notice, he says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Now a lot of people think that this is the Great Tribulation. No, because the Great Tribulation is not an hour. How long is the Great Tribulation? 3.5 years. The hour of temptation is what? That is the coming one world government and the coming one world religion, that you are going to be kept from being tempted to go into it. Why? Because you've kept the word of God. What does that do for you? That tells you what is true and what is not true. That tells you what is godly and what is not godly. So when it comes on the scene and there are great signs and miracles that take place and the whole world is falling for it and just going head over heels in love with it, it is going to be a thing that is going to sweep this world. He says, I will keep you from the hour of temptation which shall come upon all the world. Now, what does all the world mean? All the world. And with the modern communication we have today, it's going to be to all the world. To try them that dwell upon the earth. See, so there, this trial to the those that dwell upon the earth. Now, there are many other things that are going to happen with this. They're going to have to be the two witnesses that will come on the scene, and they will also witness against this system. Now notice verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that which you have. What is it that they have? The Word of God. And then with that, the Spirit of God. And with that, the understanding of the Word of God. That no man take your crown. Now, why would he put that in there? Unless there were a lot of people out trying to get you to change your ways from following the Word of God. In whatever little bit of way it can start. Now, I remember that we gave a pretty sound warning about some of the things that were happening of those who were denying Jesus Christ going to an afternoon 14th Passover, and we said, watch out, trouble is coming. And it has landed. And they are in deep trouble. Why? Because they let a man take from them the truth concerning the Passover. So the warning is there. This can apply to Sabbath. This can apply to holy days. This can apply to anything because it's rooted in the Word of God. And why would you want to give up the Word of God anyway? What are you going to get in return? You're going to end up with the Word of Satan. Now let's finish right here. Come back to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 4, that if they are not following this doctrine or these teachings based on the Word of God according to godliness, verse 4, he is arrogant and knows nothing. Rather, he has a morbid attraction to questions and disputes over words from which come envy, arguments, blasphemy, wicked suspicions, vain reasonings of men who have been corrupted in their minds and are destitute of the truth. That's what happened with those who leave the Word of God and go out and have a religion. Men who believe that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. Not go out and associate in a great ecumenical thing and come along and we'll finish where we began. That service unites and doctrine divides, so therefore you have your doctrine over here, you have your doctrine over there, you have your doctrine over there. What you're doing when you're doing that, you're accusing God of being double-minded. You're accusing God of being a liar because he allows one person to have this practice over here, say a 15th Passover, and another person over here a 14th Passover, one to keep Sabbath, another to keep Sunday. And then you can spread it out into the world, into the Muslims to keep Friday, into the Buddhists to keep no day. So you see how important it is. Yes, doctrine does divide, and it should divide us from the world and separate us to God.
The Canadian and overseas addresses for the Christian Biblical Church of God are as follows. Canada, Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 30, Glen Huntly, Australia, 3163. New Zealand, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 552, Albany, Auckland, 1331, New Zealand. Republic of South Africa, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 21279, Hilda Kruin, H-E-L-D-E-R-K-R-U-I-N, 1733, Republic of South Africa. United Kingdom, Christian Biblical Church of God.
Post Office Box 39, Yelverton, Devon, PL 20, 6XX, United Kingdom.